I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
No cause for concern whatsoever. Dak's going to be fine.
Mike McCarthy said it was a fatigue injury.
I think it's just something, as we said, it's just taking the precaution.
I don't think it seems a serious situation at the moment.
This is early in training camp. No cause for concern.
Not so fast, my friends. Not so fast. It is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin in for Allen today, along with Bartolomeo Prescott.
Carson Scott.
Boy, you are so down on Micah Parsons after one night.
No, the thing is,
I mean, you got him tanking already. No,
there's nothing to see here. It's like amazing. Well, he got a fumble recovery in his first time, and he got a fumble recovery when he was a rookie. Bro, you were in the sink front. The quarterback dropped the exchange, and you literally took two steps, and the ball was there. It's like, bro, let's not act like you came through, punched the ball through, or came with the tomahawk over the top and punched it out. Bro, the ball literally fell. Like, it's not like he's playing inside linebacker. And that's something that
it reminds me of my PAL days when I was on the outside and I looked down, there's the ball. Oh, fall on it.
That's exactly what he did. So, I mean, listen, okay. For statistically, with somebody here, oh, he got a fumble recovery.
Oh, who cares?
Yeah, he didn't cause the fumble. And, like, bro, the ball fell at your toes. So, congratulations. We know that you can bend from your waist and pick up a football.
Well, it is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And this is what we're doing today. A lot of deep dives into divisions around football, because with last night's game, it may not be a regular season opener, but I'm sorry, it is football season now. So that's what we're going to do throughout the course of the show today. And this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. First of all, just out of last night, was there anything from what you saw from either team early that actually jumped out that meant anything to you whatsoever?
Well, what I was looking at is the scheme and the discipline, right? And we went through a whole half without the Cowboys having a procedural penalty or anything like that. So that's an improvement, because that's really what you want to see. You want to make sure that you play a clean game. Guys know where they're supposed to go. They stay disciplined. And I think they did a good job of that. I think we saw what we were expecting to see. We saw Najee Harris look like he can be a good player. We saw Michael Parsons look like he can run from sideline to sideline, as both of these teams, neither of these teams, I'm sure, game plan for each other. So that's the good news, right? The good news is, like, there's nothing they really could have did that we would have said, wow, man, that was amazing. But the fact that we're not coming here and saying this team is awful means that, you know, they did their job. And that's what it was all about. And we'll see, like, next week, because next week will be a little bit different, because when you have the Hall of Fame game, you have an extra preseason game too, or you could, because you have an extra week. Like, a lot of teams would be playing their intramural scrimmage games this week, and then they'll have their first game next week. So that's when it really gets real. I'm sure you'll have a lot of fun watching, like, the green and white game, the blue and white game with the Giants or something like that. But right now, nothing to see here. We're about a week away before we really start putting out the notepads and start to see what these teams are and what their philosophy is all about, and if some of these young guys and old guys can play.
Okay, let's start with the NFC East, and we'll roll through the NFC East and the AFC East in this segment to begin. Now, we saw the Cowboys last night. Obviously, no Dak Prescott, but he did appear on Fox's halftime show to update us on his injury.
We're being cautious. We're taking it day by day. Obviously, it's 5 weeks before season opener, so I've got a lot of time, and I'm going to use that time and get myself ready for that game.
I know it is a decent amount of time, but when you understand he's not out there yet, what does it say to you?
What did he say? He said, we have a lot of time, and I need that time.
Yep.
So he understands. If you listen to that, the athlete's going to be like, I'm good. I could go today if we needed to, but it's just camp. So out of precaution, I'm just going to stay out. He's saying that he needs 5 weeks. So this tells me that I don't know if it's more of a, like, carpal tunnel type of injury, because he hasn't thrown in a long time, or if his mechanics has changed. But the fact that your quarterback isn't even scheduled to be able to throw, to work on his rehab, to strengthen that arm up, tells me it's a problem. It may be worse than we thought it was. Because there's no way that you're just going to say, oh, 5 weeks, I should be good.
Yeah, and that's what troubles me about it. I feel like right now, assuming it's not worse than they're saying, I feel like right now they're probably trying to retrain him a little bit to get back to what the mechanics were before the injury, because it's natural for there to be a compensation there. But I keep coming back to what you said yesterday. The fact that he is sidelined with this after only a couple of practices. Right. And probably hasn't thrown that many passes.
So let's assume that he warmed up. Let's assume that he played let's just say 5 practices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's say he threw 1,000 passes and it's flared up to the point where I can't throw for a month. 1,000 passes did that to you? 1,000 passes put you on the shelf. That's telling me it's an issue there. It's a problem. And the fact that we can't really identify it is not the labrum. It's not the rotator cuff. The fact that he feels like it's underneath his armpit, like, is that a lat? And like, what is that? Is it like a rib separated? Is it something going on there where you're going to be compromised the entire year? And you don't get healthy during the football season, right? You just don't be in pain.
I wonder, the other thing too is, does Zeke have a bounce back year for the Cowboys as elite as we expect the offense to be if Dak is healthy? And come back and win the rushing title this year? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that's going to be tough to do, Dak, to have that many possessions. He's getting older, too. I mean, Ezekiel, he's getting a little older, too. So you think about, you want to keep his tire tread down, because, you know, if he gets close to that 300 to 400 mark, remember, it's an extra game. Like, that's usually the kiss of death. We've seen guys that have won MVP, Sean Alexander, which comes to mind, that we never hear from after they rush for that type of yard. So I think it may be a blessing in disguise if they let somebody else get a couple of snaps and keep it fresh.
All right, to Washington in the NFC East, Ryan Fitzpatrick's the quarterback. Is he the missing piece, or does Ryan Fitzpatrick at some point this year, his turnovers really become more of the story than how well he's playing?
Now, that's a gift and a curse, right? Because, yeah, he may – you know, put a couple balls in tight spots and believe in his arm, believe in his anticipation. But for every time that he does that, that defense is so elite, they're going to get him the ball back and give him another opportunity. Say, okay, well, you messed up last time. Here's the ball back. Don't mess it up this time. Like, I can remember being on dominant defenses like that, and it's such an advantage from a field position battle. What happens is you continue to force the team to have to punt out of their end zone, punt out of their territory, and you just basically squeeze them out,
right,
with the pressure, right? It's just exhausting, right? You know how like a boxer can be in front of a guy and it's like good boxing aggression, but he ain't really throwing no punches? But because he's in front of the guy, it's making the guy react, and you end up burning yourself out because you're just underneath this level of stress. And when that happens, then you usually break through. And if Ryan Fitzpatrick has the ultimate like advantage, if he goes up by 2 scores with that type of defense, the game should be over. At any point in the game, if they're up by 2 scores, the game should be over.
Hand the football off. Let's just not screw it up.
They're not going to score 3 times on our defense, yep, to win.
Yep. And look, I, knowing what kind of a quarterback he is in his career, and knowing that he probably is going to end up having the best defense he's ever had in his career, you would be smart if you're Fitzpatrick and you're a Harvard guy, for Pete's sake,
yep,
that you do the right thing and not turn it over. Up the turnpike to Philly. Deshaun Watson is long rumored to be joining the Eagles in a potential trade. It was off and on this week. I don't particularly buy that it was really close at any point this week. Here's Nick Sirianni, though, the Eagles head coach, who has not yet named a starter.
There's just no rush there on having to do that. And we just, again, we just want him to continue to impress and show like he has. And yeah, we're just not there yet.
Bart, I'm a Jalen Hurts guy. I think he can play. And for me, I don't know if he's going to play particularly well this season. I think it's a rebuild/retool year for the Eagles. But if they're not going to give him a good enough opportunity, and it's actually legitimately a competition, which I don't believe it is.
It's never a competition. We already know what Deshaun Watson is.
Yeah, and look, if Deshaun Watson is here, he's obviously going to be the quarterback. But Jalen Hurts, I think, can play, Bart, and I think they'd be making a mistake if they didn't give him a true opportunity here.
Nah, he can play, but listen, you may get one chance in all of your general manager time to get a pull off a deal like this for Deshaun Watson. because quarterbacks like that are never available. If you don't draft them, you can't get them until he's been a bum like Carson Wentz or Tannehill, and he gets a second chance. But you don't get opportunities like this ever, let alone in life, but never where you be in this type of position where you just so happen to have two first-round draft picks, you just so happen to be dumping a lot of salary out of the salary cap, and you have an opportunity for a 25-year-old franchise quarterback to be available. When and where have a 25-year-old all-pro quarterback ever been available in the history of football?
Never. Never. And it obviously it all depends on the legal situation around him. Let's argue for a second that he's not in Philadelphia. What's the Eagles' ceiling this year?
This is going to be a tough one, Chris. I mean,
I think it's a long year for him.
Yeah, I'm thinking at the tops, maybe 6 wins. 6 and how many games is it?
17 games, so that's 6 and 11.
6 and 11.
Yeah.
I'm thinking around 6 and 11 is about where they should be, and that would be a victory. I think more like 4. But I think 6 is a legitimate goal for them, and if they get a quarterback, it can be a lot more.
Look, I'm at 6 as well. I don't think it's going to be much more than that, but I think that they will see that Jalen Hurts can play and they have their guy. And he's got 2 strikes against him already because he was a Doug Peterson guy. That was why that pick was made. The Giants, Daniel Jones, was the 6th overall pick 2 years ago. We have heard so much about him needing to prove himself, and they have given all of the weapons that he needs. The offensive line is slightly better, you would believe. If Andrew Thomas develops, it will be a lot better. And Saquon Barkley, you would think, is going to be 100% for the majority of the season because they're taking it exceptionally slowly with him. Is Jones taking the next step, Bart? Is he leading them to being a really good team?
I mean, I think he is. And if you listen to him talk, his mannerisms and the way he talks about it and the pacing that he goes about it, it's much like Eli Manning. And it's when Eli Manning got in his 3rd year where he started to kind of take off and take control. And it was uncomfortable for Kurt Warner to have his job taken from him. But, we knew that it was all about Eli as soon as they signed him in the 1st round. We know that this is about Danny Dimes. This is his team. They're going to do everything within their power to make him seem like he's successful so they can't say that they wasted that pick a couple of years ago when we're watching guys like Josh Allen. We're watching guys like Lamar Jackson. We're watching, the other guys, Baker Mayfield, within that division that was picked during that time where Saquon was picked and then Jones was picked.
Yeah.
If you end up and both of them are good, could you imagine that? That is a fireable offense for Gettleman. Right? Gettleman will have to fire himself. Just imagine if Saquon, who's number 2, isn't ready and available, and you decide not to pay him like McCaffrey,
right?
Because he doesn't prove it, but that's what he wants. Then you lose Danny Dimes. That means that you picked bad in the top 10 twice in 3 years, and that's not acceptable.
That means you're not the GM anymore.
Right.
That's exactly what that means. All right, AFC. Buffalo in the AFC East. I think they're legitimate. And when I say I think they're legitimate, I mean I think they're a legitimate threat to the Kansas City Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl this year. In fact, I think they're going to end up, if everybody stays healthy or the primary guys do, I think they're going to end up in the Super Bowl this year. Are they a threat to the Chiefs yet?
I mean, I think they're a threat to the division. I think they're definitely a threat to the Chiefs because they can, run the football a little bit with Singletary. They can throw the ball with Diggs and Beasley in the slot. And, I anticipate that, what they saw in the playoffs was the fact that the way to get to Mahomes was to get him off his spot. Now, I know that's Captain Obvious, but they lacked the horses to get him. So what did they do? They drafted Boogie Basham, right?
Yep.
A talented guy.
Love him from Wake Forest.
Yeah, not only can he rush the pass from outside, he can rush the pass from inside because he sits at 280, even though he's technically an outside defensive end. He would play that elephant in most people's system. And then they went out and they got the kid from Miami who only
– Russo.
Yeah, Russo, who's – I think he had, 15 sacks last year?
He was – last year was the year he opted out. The year before was the year he had the big season.
Right, so yeah. 15 sacks. He's a big guy that sits at, 6'8". And you think about Olivia and Oliver in the middle, that they signed him. So now you have guys that should be able to get pass rush, defense that – struggled a little bit, but they couldn't get to the passer.
I don't think the Bills have a weakness. I honestly don't. I think up and down, they are a very, very strong team. Zach Wilson is the big story in New York, of course, and whether or not he is truly the goods. And look, the Jets, I don't think anybody expects to fully contend this year.
Yeah.
But Bart, at the same time, they need to show that they're better. This is year three for Joe Douglas, and it's mostly his guys now.
Yeah, two for the building.
So
three,
let's see.
Three in the building, right?
Yep.
Three in the building, two in his process as he got his first draft. I mean, I think when you look at the Jets, you look at what they've done on the outside, I can argue that Corey Davis and maybe Elijah Moore and Crowder, you know, could be a very formidable, you know, quartet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you know they have a couple guys. They got the Smith brothers. You know, they got, you know, some more pieces there. But, I mean, I just look at them and I see a lot of youth and exuberance. And I also see a complete team in a environment that's big on culture and big on competition. So, I mean, I think the Jets, we've always worried about when guys get hurt, the backup behind him, the fall off is so deep that it's hard to really assess them. Last year when Mims was hurt and Crowder was hurt, they went to Vincent Smith. Never heard of him. They went to Braxton Berrios. Right now, if Crowder goes down and he gets injured, you got Keelan Cole.
Yep.
You got a guy
and
like
Mims
Elijah
Moore. Mims is falling
Moore.
Down the depth chart,
right.
too.
Yeah, he's yeah. falling down the depth chart because he doesn't fit the body type
right.
of the type of receivers that they had out there in San Francisco. They had guys that were built like Dez Bryant, guys that catch the ball, got yak, but could stretch the field. So that he's going to have to find a way to be able to be seen and be heard. But I like what the Jets have done. Defensively on the defensive line, you can say whatever you want. I think arguably this is a top five to top 10 defensive line, and it's not even close. When you think about Lawson and what's been reported about what he's been doing to Becton every day, you know what I mean? So I'm sold on everybody in this division. The Patriots, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
But you look at that roster. That roster is scary, man. They have the best offensive line, I believe, in all of football. Trent Brown, Isaiah Wynn, Shaq Mason. David Andrews, who had the blood clots last year.
Yep.
I mean, that's solid. But then the line continues because now you got Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith.
Hmm.
So now you basically have the ability to block and have guys that can check out and make plays in space as well. And you look at the upgrades on the outside. I know Nelson Aguilar can't catch babies. Maybe this year he can catch a football, right? Maybe he can catch a football. And you look at what they have there from that standpoint. You know Sony Michel's going to be tough because now they have – so many weapons that you can't really load the box up and take that away.
Then there's Cam Newton, and you touched on him having a better situation. Here he is also about his relationship with Mac Jones, who is, of course, looming.
Let me tell you what's not going to happen. You're not going to get no intel out of me, Kay. There's not going to be no front pages on Cam said this or But as far as any type of intel of what we do, how we do things, and what has been done, no bueno, guy.
I mean, he says all the right things, right? He's referencing not going to be no drama between him and Mac and Cheese. But I think because Mac and Cheese understands that he's the future and Cam is the present. Like, Mac and Cheese is the near future, right? Because we know there's no way in hell that Cam Newton's going to come back next year and play for $3.5 million. Basically give the Patriots a discount by playing for what backups, less than what backups play for in this league.
Last one of this segment is the Miami Dolphins. They're a team on the rise, but it's all about Tua. Bart, is Tua the guy or not?
That remains to be seen, Chris. I mean, like last year was tough.
Is Tua the guy or not?
I'm going to say not.
Not.
I'm going to say that's why they loaded themselves up as well, just in case Deshaun Watson becomes available. But if Deshaun Watson is not able to be obtained because he's found guilty, you think about Aaron Rodgers next year. You know, most old people like to get a lot of money and go live in South Florida. So, like, you think about what Aaron Rodgers is. He's an old dude with a lot of money, and he'll get a lot of money. No state taxes, and then he'll be able to keep up most of that money. So I think, you know, a guy like that can go there. A guy like Jameis Winston. A guy like Cam Newton can go down there. Remember, Flores, you know, is going to get all that intel from up in New England and know what Cam is, how he walks around that building. So, I mean, I think this is very, very interesting because I think that, you know, they potentially can be, you know, right there with anybody. That team is talented as well. You think about Parker, you think about Waddle. They just got to get some guys on the defensive side a little settled down. You know, because you think about Xavier Howard, 10 picks last year. If you can't get him happy, then you have a major hole in your offense.
So that's it for the AFC and NFC East. I'm with you. I don't think two is the guy either. And we're going to go around each division today and go deep dive on them. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll work in your calls as well on the NFL. This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. It's Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Up next, is Baker actually the guy or not? We will examine that question, and Bart will give you the definitive take right after he tells you about our friends from DoorDash.
What say the people? DoorDash here with the summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood with the Dash Pass in the DoorDash app. Stay tuned. Stay cool. Terms and conditions apply. Back after this, your calls. We continue to break down all the divisions.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
It's the summer of Dash Pass, and members are getting $10 off groceries, alcohol, and pet food. Why? Because summer. Try Dash Pass for free. Get year-round savings, exclusive menu items, and zero delivery fees in the DoorDash app. Terms and conditions apply. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Bartholomew, to the AFC North we go, and Baker Mayfield. Is he the man or not in Cleveland? Will he get the long-term deal? Is he the guy, Bart?
He will get it, but I don't think he deserves it. I think this team will be much better off if they got one of the retreads or somebody that's available, next year. I mean, what would you say if Baker Mayfield was gone and you're able to pick up a guy like Aaron, and you give up some of that talent that you have from this great roster, but you give some up for the best quarterback in the game to pair him with all those pieces? I just don't think he's a guy. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a great player. He's not a superstar or a star. He's just an average quarterback.
I think he's a little bit above average, but if you overpay an average quarterback or a little bit above average, you rue the day that you do it. Here's Baker being the right guy when it comes to Odell Beckham, one of his most important weapons.
It looks really great. You know, after seeing him run and really just talking to him as well, he feels comfortable. He's still getting used to some of these cuts and certain, motions, but you're talking about 7 months since the surgery, so it's pretty impressive how quickly he's come back.
I don't expect him to have a big year. I honestly don't. I think it's going to be elsewhere, and maybe he will be elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, man. Listen, these guys, it's odd. You know, we say this, and we're picking Cleveland to be the best team in the division, but they were third. The Ravens were 11-5, and Pittsburgh, yes, Pittsburgh was 12-4.
With the Ravens, with Lamar Jackson, can he take regular season success and transfer it to the playoffs?
Well, to do that is going to have to be about something other than his legs and him making dynamic, great plays. At some point, you have to trust your teammates. Like Jordan had to trust his teammates, you got to trust your teammates to put the ball in their hands and let them make some plays for you. Bateman is going to be something that it looks like they already have chemistry. And if Sammy Watkins stay healthy, you know, where they going to, you know, really hurt is if Justin Houston can't provide the pressure of Judon next year. They're going to struggle on the back end because they have great secondary, but they're going to have to be able to get to the passer.
I think Lamar Jackson is capable of leading a team to the Super Bowl. I just don't think it'll be this year. And we saw Pittsburgh last night. Being overlooked or not? First of all, Mike Tomlin was happy to be back in front of fans last night.
I don't think any of us missed the fact that just having a stadium full of fans, what that does. The energy that the stands and the fans provided us, man, being without that largely for over a year was good to be back in that type of a football environment. We're appreciative of that.
You know what? I'm down on Ben. The Steelers still have a very, very good defense. I don't know that it's going to be a horrible year for them. I don't think it's going to be a great year for them.
I mean, you don't go from 12 to 4, and yeah, you lose some players on the offensive side of the ball and drop down.
They really hit the skids so they're late in the season.
Yeah, but you don't drop down to 7-7. You don't drop down to 7 wins. You don't lose 5 wins. Those players that they lost ain't worth 5 wins. So no matter what, the Steelers are going to win at least 9 to 10 games, which will put them in a wild card at worst.
Can Joe Burrow actually succeed in Cincinnati?
Well, I think he can. I mean, listen, like you can say what you want about Cincinnati, but they do have a couple of special players. You think about T. Higgins, you think about Tyler Boyd, you think about Ja'Marr Chase, what that can be. You know, arguably, you can take those three receivers and say they're top 5 in this league already.
I like Joe Burrow a lot. I will be very curious with him coming off of the ACL how he will respond this season. You know, it's one of those injuries where, I mean, kind of similar to Dak, not the same injury, mind you, but how is he going to come back and feel comfortable?
Yeah, this is a lot worse than Dak's, right? Because Dak's is a break heals a lot easier than a ligament. Ligaments got to grow, tighten back up, all kind of stuff. You know, I'm a little bit, I would say, oh, well, he's a young guy, so he'll be back. But I forget he's older than Lamar Jackson, so he's actually not a young guy. I think he's like 25 years old.
Yeah.
Which, you know, 25 years old,
he transferred and all that stuff. Yeah.
He won a championship and smoked a cigar and checked on his estate plan. That's how old he is. You know what I mean? But, you know, I think that he can be successful. I just don't know if he can be successful this year.
NFC North, it's all about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Is he going to be back to his MVP form? And that's what everybody wants to know. And he also has to worry about his future. There was a report yesterday that they had a handshake deal from Jay Glazer, the Packers at the end of the year would trade him if he's still unhappy, but it's not in writing. So with Aaron, how is his relationship with the GM, Brian Gutekunst, coming along?
I think it's a work in progress for sure. Relationships aren't formed in a matter of a couple of days. There's time where the respect grows and the communication follows. You know, I think the greatest relationships that you have, you know, with your friends and loved ones, involve conversations that flow. It's all about wanting to have those conversations and wanting to, you know, to be in conversation like that. And, you know, we've had a couple conversations and been positive conversations.
I'm surprised that he was willing to trust him on a handshake.
Yeah, I mean, but what choice did he have? They still had him under contract for 3 years. And when you think about it, right, Aaron Rodgers, you talk about having those conversations, you know, and establishing a relationship. Like, hasn't Gutekunst been there for 17 years? Like, you would think you have some type of relationship. Now you guys want to focus, take a deep dive in your relationship? You know, I don't know, man. I think that the hay's already in the barn, and I think that he's already going to go out of there. And, yeah, they can have a handshake. I think they'll honor it because I don't think they want to go through this beautiful mystery again in the offseason.
Then there's the Bears and Justin Fields, and I'm really excited to see Justin Fields. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback in this league. Meanwhile, Matt Nagy, the head coach, chiming in on Andy Dalton still being QB1, as they say.
Clarification that he can't win it. Yes, correct. Andy Dalton is our starter. And when we go through this process, there, like I said today, just calling a play in the huddle. And that gets to the instant gratification part that we all want, right? I understand that. Andy understands that. Justin understands it. Nick understands it. Our coaches understand that we all get excited about Justin Fields. You know, we'd all be lying if we didn't, if we said something different.
Yeah, I didn't like what he said in there about calling a play in the huddle, because that says to me that Justin Fields doesn't, you know, and it's early, doesn't have a full grasp on running the offense, so to speak.
Well, we've seen this before, right? We've seen like the uncut version of John Gruden telling Chris Sims a play, and he goes in there, zoo, zoo, zoo.
Yeah.
And he go there and he forgets the play literally three times. Like, Fields is basically learning a new language and being able to try and comprehend and apply it, and that's tough to do. And you think about, you know, what Graham said about him. He said that, you know, he's special. He reminds him of Russell Wilson. So what's one thing, if he's Russell Wilson, what's one thing that Russell Wilson did? Oh, he had a QB1 in front of him, too.
Yep.
They had just paid him, Matt Flynn, for $10 million a year, which was a lot of money back in that day. And all Russell Wilson did was take his spot before the third preseason game.
A magician made him disappear.
Right. So if Jimmy Graham is Socrates, then I expect to see love sooner than later.
Vikings. Is this Kirk Cousins COVID thing going to be an issue?
If he gets somebody sick, it will be, because those words will come back to haunt him.
If you're in that locker room right now, how are you looking at a guy like that who's a leader of the team, not vaccinated?
Here's a problem. Like, he's the most important player on the team. Not because he's the best, because he's the most important. So if he gets COVID or he gets sick or if he gets fined or if he gets suspended because he was grossly negligent in his contact tracing or something, season's over.
Yeah.
Like, so this is the guy who wants to risk, I'll walk around with plexiglass around me. Like, those are some words and some statements that usually come back to bite you in the butt.
And what I didn't like is he kind of made it sound like it was Kellen Mond's fault. You know, like, he's in the room, it's close contact, it's all that stuff. In other words, we're too close in the room. Dude, do everybody a favor. I get it's your choice, but it's also the Vikings' choice to not have people on the team who don't want to get vaccinated.
That is true. And I wonder if he, like, has an outbreak or something like that, and, like, their team loses their salary, has to forfeit a game. How can you walk back into that room, into that building, and look at guys that are making good money and say, hey, you cost me $1 million last week, and we supposed to be friends? No. As soon as you get in this huddle, I'm punching you in the back of the head. like an old boy from Players Club when he hit Ice Cube in the back of the head at the club. Miami. Uncle Luke gonna talk to me. All right. Michael Clark Duncan punched him right in the back of his neck.
And then lastly, the Lions, and appropriately so. Bart.
Nothing to see here.
You know what? Not even Jared Goff worth seeing.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see
DeAndre
here.
DeAndre Swift, they got one of the best offensive lines in the game. Dan Campbell talking about biting kneecaps. The only thing I got respect for him is the fact that I know he handed Chris Canty one of his L's. You know what I'm saying? When Chris Canty admitted. You know, when you admit that somebody, you know, got you, when you ask him about camp fights, you knew that that urban legend was out there. And if he would have said something wrong, somebody would say, hey, man, maybe they would have brought up that film. You know what I mean? They'd find that video of Chris taking that L from Dan Campbell.
And it ain't say ESPN. It's your chance to weigh in on your team next. 888-729-3776. Is your team going to live up to expectations? Is Baker the guy in Cleveland? Can the Steelers actually do something this year? And is Aaron Rodgers going to lead the Packers to the Super Bowl this year? It's all there for you. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear. More driven. 888-729-3776. Barton Hahn coming to you live from above the Heineken River deck on Pier 17 on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bart and Han.
A lot of football today. We are taking a look at all the divisions in depth. 888-729-3776. Barton Han, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott. Let's hit some calls. We start with Ron in Oakland, California, up first on ESPN Radio. Ron, what's going on, dude? How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good. What do you got?
Well, I'm hoping the Raiders can make the playoffs this year. I mean, I'd rather, you know, see. I don't think we're going to make the playoffs this year, and I just think our defense, I don't see them getting it done with the defense that they got, the pieces they got. I mean, our offense, we can score. I just don't see them doing it with the defense. What do you guys think?
I mean, it's tough. They're going to need some help, and I think with the extra playoff game in, they can have a shot. You talk about a team that was 8-8 last year, that if they can find a way to close out some games and find a way to win, they were in the second game with Kansas City. Like, Carr knows how to beat Patrick Mahomes. The problem is he can't beat anybody else on a consistent basis, and that's what they have to figure out, how to close out games. And, you know, oddly enough, you know, I know everybody loves Colin Farrell, you know, but that pick may come back to haunt you, right? Crosby, they paid Max Crosby. Like, he hasn't really worked out as far as being able to replace Khalil Mack. They still haven't found a way to replace Khalil Mack. They got to take the next step. You don't need Henry Ruggs to start catching the football and beat Tyreek Hill like they drafted him to be.
Yeah. And look, I'm not a Derek Carr fan. I'm not a Derek Carr fan, and I don't know that he's ever going to get them over the hump.
He's better than Kirk Cousins.
How about Jeff in Highland Beach? I'm pretty close to Kirk Cousins. Jeff, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's actually Highland Beach, but it's okay. I'm a Dolphins fan for 40 years, guys. I think you're selling Tua short. I think he's stronger, faster, healthier, more confident, and I think he's going to prove a lot of you guys wrong. We're one of the youngest teams in the league. And we did win 10 games last year. Guaranteed 11 wins this year.
Yeah, but you did get 10 games last year, but a lot of the times you had to get Ryan Fitzpatrick in the game to get there.
Right, to close it out. And to your point, you know, New England's going to be a much harder out this year, and so will the Jets. So if that's the case, if let's just say, like, you lose one to New England, you lose one to the Jets, then now you're talking about being closer to that 8-8 team. You know, they were a team that snuck up on some people, but that was during the midst of COVID. I tell you all the time, South Beach is undefeated. Especially in the midst of COVID, where guys are like, oh, my God, they're free down here, and people are wilding the hell out, and then they come back and they give you a bad performance. I just don't know if Tua can take the next step, and, you know, if they give him the whole playbook, if that causes some type of delay in his giddy-up.
Download the Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations overheard around National Geographic's headquarters, presented by the City Advantage Platinum Select Card, the card built for your next adventure. Chuck in Kentucky checking in on the Bengals. Chuck.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
I just want to make this clear. I'm not biased. I'm not a Bengals fan. I'm a diehard Seattle Seahawks fan. Live 15 minutes from the Bengals stadium. Just curious on what you believe they're going to get done this season with the additions on defense. Finally, a healthy DJ Reader. And you got Bates in the back on D. And obviously, with the other decision not to take an offensive lineman, they decided to get the wide receiver to please Burrow. Just interested to see how many wins you think they're going to get in that tough division.
I mean, they're going to be better, but I don't know how much better yet.
Well, it depends on what Jonah Williams decides to be. If he can be that first-round draft pick tackle, then they can do it. They have the best receiver, of course, since they had Henry, who's your mama, and Chad Ochocinco.
That's the kind of analysis we're getting you on Barton Han, ESPN Radio.